You know, the world don't like that. I don't understand. You can speak about Buddha, and everybody clap their hands and glad that they worship Buddha and are religious. You can speak about Muhammad, and instead of Islam being condemned for the murderous religion that it is, they're commended for their devotion because they pray three times a day. But if you mention Jesus, then everybody gets sideways. If you mention Jesus, everybody gets upset, and that's because of the condemning holiness of Jesus Christ. And may I tell you, it's still all about Him. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Amen. That is the name of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's just as simple as it gets right there. That nobody gets saved unless they come by Jesus. Let me let you know again that you are not good enough, and you will never be good enough to acquire heaven, to get to heaven. You can't do enough. You can't be good enough. You can't pray enough, give enough, act right enough. You can't do it. You have to be born again by the precious Spirit of God and receive Christ. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to tell you about again today. All right? It matters. It matters this morning. It matters. All right? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll give you a few thoughts this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This will be for everybody this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Before we'll get done, it'll be for everybody. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll start at verse 9. It says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, you are most wonderful. Lord, I can stand here as the Apostle Paul and say, I am a wretch. I understand my faults and failures and my weaknesses, my sin, my imperfections, the things that I should do, I don't, the things I shouldn't do, I do. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me for that, but yet I hold you up because you're holy and perfect and pure. And though I am a failure in so many things, I'm not worthless. I'm unworthy, but I'm not worthless because you saved me. And you give your best to purchase me. And Lord, there's others in this congregation this morning the same way. There's others listening in live stream. There's those that will listen on the website later on that are the same. And Lord, you're the greatest. I don't understand your grace. I don't understand your mercy. I don't understand your love. But I sure do thank you for it. I thank you for salvation. I'm glad that you still save sinners. And Lord, I'm thankful that you'll save sinners today, tonight, every day until you come. Lord, I'm glad that you're still in the saving business. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to help us this evening or this morning. Help us that you might speak to our hearts, draw us to a place that we can examine ourselves. Search every heart this morning. May we be honest with you, I pray. And I'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, I ask all this, and amen. We'll call your attention to something here. Verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. And what a thought. What a truth that we're going to stand before God. What a truth. Does that make you shudder any at all? Does that make you sit up and take notice that somewhere, someday, you're going to stand before God? Do you understand that? Everybody. Everybody is going to stand before God in some way. Now the saved will stand at the judgment seat. The lost will stand at the white throne judgment. And we're going to give an account. It's the one thing to stand before a holy God. I don't know that I'll be standing but for a moment before I bow down because of His holiness and perfection. But that's one thing to stand there. But the thing that scares me, the thing that brings a chill to my bones is that I give an account. I want everybody to look at me. You're going to give an account. Now, I'm not giving one for you. You're giving one for yourself. Now, I'm going to give an account on how I pastored you. Yes. But I want you to understand, we're going to stand before God. But you know, it don't seem like it bothers nobody. Don't seem like it bothers nobody anymore. You know, if we look around, if we look in the mirror, we live selfish. We live prideful lives. We live like we're never going to die. We live like it's none of nobody's business how we live, what we say, where we go, how we act, what we do, what we give, how we treat others. We act like it's nobody's business. It's only ours. Now, I'm talking about the people that's living right. The people that ain't living right is worse than that. Because we that live right, we don't care what anybody thinks either. Because we're so self-centered and selfish for the most part. We try some days a week, but we don't try every day of the week. Because we are what we are, we want what we want. We live as if there's no judgment. We live as if, all right, I'll stand before God, but I'm just going to stand before Him and praise Him. No, we're going to stand before God, and He's going to open up a book, and He's going to read out your life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's He going to say? What's going to say about you? He said, wait a minute, preacher. I thought I'm forgiven of my sins. You are. But yet the Bible says here, speaking to the Christian, for you must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body according to that which He had done, whether it be good or bad. Can I tell you, there are consequences of sin that we don't like to talk about. My sins are gone. Hallelujah, my sins are gone. But my consequences are tough.
That's right. Amen.
My influence is tough.
Come on
now, that's what it says. I'm just going to give you what the Bible says. The people say, well, it don't mean that. Well, I'm just going to preach what it says.
Amen.
I'm going to preach what it says. We live as if there's no hell.
Right. Yeah.
People that are unsaved live as if there's no hell at all, although they invite people to go there regularly. But they don't think they're the ones that may be going. In anger, we wish people to go to hell. In anger, we tell people to go there. In anger, we say a lot of things, but can I tell you that every idle word will be brought up? Is everybody still listening to me? See, everybody, I think, now listen to me, I think down deep everybody thinks everybody's going to go to heaven. Now, we say we don't believe it, but yet you don't tell everybody you see. You only visit on the scheduled days. You only witness on our big days. You only pass out tracts when we give them to you to pass them out. Chances are that everybody here this week that has lost loved ones didn't go to them. Chances are you didn't go to their house last night and pray in their driveway that they come to Christ. Chances are you didn't call them on the phone and invite them to church this morning. Probably because you really don't believe in hell yourself. I wonder how many of us preachers believe in hell. Because we live the same way everyone else does. See, I believe sometimes we miss it. I'm not trying to put a damper on the great singing, because it was great singing. But can I tell you that there is a reason that Christ died. There is a reason we can sing about Christ. There is a reason that heaven emptied out and brought the best it had to come down and die on an old rugged cross to suffer, bleed, and die, that men and women, boys and girls, might be saved and miss hell. That they might be saved and bring glory to God. That the Lamb that was slain might receive glory for His suffering. It's that important. It's that important. It's that important that He don't kill us when He saves us and take us straight to heaven. Because it's important that we have a life. We have a life for Him. In today's life, there is no fear of God. There's no thought of anything. Can I tell you the attitude of people? You know, it was told to someone this past week, or last Friday, speaking of kids coming to youth camp, they said they couldn't wait because there's going to be a week without their kids. They couldn't wait to see the kids at the camp because they're going to have a whole week without their children.
Right.
Is that sad or what? That's a shame. But that's the attitude of mankind today. See, it has nothing to do. See, our lives don't know where match up with what the Bible says. But yet, there's no fear of God. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of punishment. There's no fear of God, and there's no respect. There's no fear of God, and we don't fear punishment. You know why we don't fear punishment? Because there's no punishment with man anymore.
That's right.
We got too many friends that are policemen and judges that you get off for tickets. And I was going to say, anybody that lets someone off for a speeding ticket is a crook. Any policeman or any judge that lets anybody off for just a simple parking ticket is a crook. I won't let someone let me off. I think it's wrong. It teaches us that there's no punishment for wrong. And now we have a society that everybody wants off. Now we got a society of entitlement. And now there's no wrong, there's no punishment. You know, we have no one in mind, okay? But we have fathers. Or should we say we have daddies that have made babies that enjoyed the process but are too sorry to take care of the kids.
Yes.
We got women who enjoyed the process of getting pregnant but they're too sorry to raise their kids. Because there's no punishment. There's no punishment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I'm not condemning nothing other than what we don't care. Well, there's no fear. There's no fear of nothing. There's no fear because we don't fear punishment. When people murder someone, they know that all they got to do is say they're nuts. And there'll be some slick lawyer, get them off. When if they murder someone, they ought to hang them. I mean, I'm not condemning them. I'm just saying that there's no fear of punishment. There used to be a fear of that. If somebody stole, you know, in Europe, in Iran, a place, if they steal, they cut their hand off. They won't do it no more. I'm not saying to do. I'm just saying. I'm telling you about fear. I'm talking about fear. There's no fear of punishment. And nobody believes there's going to be any punishment to stand before God. Because God is a loving God, and He's a merciful God, and He's a great... Well, God ain't going to do nothing, but yet the Bible says, therefore knowing the terror of the Lord. We ought to pay attention to what the Scripture says. It matters how we live. I'm going to preach to you just real quick this morning, that is, it matters how we live. It matters how we live. Now, how can I get that out of the scripture? Well, let's see. Wherefore we labor, verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. I believe it matters the way we live this morning. It matters the way we live. I watched them children this week. I watched children, there was a couple of them come to me this week, and they said, "Preacher," he said, "we love camp, but why do we have to go home? Is there anything you can do to keep us here?" So a little boy come to me this week. It happens every year to someone. This year they come to me. And they want to know, is there any way you can... Why? Because they couldn't handle going back home in the way their home was living. I don't know of anything that breaks my heart anymore to see what these kids come to. We check the kids. The kids bring her bags, bring her stuff, her clothes and everything. Can I tell you how people live? Can I tell you, Lisa and them, we have people that checked their bags. See, if you come to camp, you don't belong to you no more. You belong to us. And we can check your belongings because we can't let things come into camp. We got to be very careful. You know, everybody, you never know what anybody's going to do, right? So we check them. And there was a couple bags looked in. You know what they had? They didn't have no clothes. They didn't have no clothes. Now, they were supposed to brought clothes for a week, but they didn't have none to bring. You know what they brought? They brought a piece of a pillow and a piece of a blanket. That was what was in the bag. If it wasn't for the clothing closet, Beth sees over and makes sure everything's right and ready and got everything organized, these kids wouldn't even have no clothes to wear to camp. And that way we're living in 2025 in wild, wonderful West Virginia where people make $30 and $40 and $50 and $60 an hour, where even those on welfare get hundreds of dollars of food stamps, hundreds of dollars of disability checks that ain't never hit a tap of work in their life, that they're third generation disabled from laziness.
Yeah.
All right? That's the problem. Any man that's not able to work and won't work is just sorry and lazy. I'll just go ahead and say that. You ought to get a job and make a living. Amen, preacher. All right? Amen, preacher, twice. How about that? All right? But these kids have nothing, and they don't want to go out. It matters how you live. It matters how you live. Are you understanding the thought this morning? See, it matters because you're going to be raised. You're going to be judged the way you've raised your children. You're going to be judged the way, if you would, how you've done. And listen, we can't get out of this. We're going to stand before God. It ain't not just a clear slate. Listen, my sins are gone. I'm saved. I'm justified as if I never sinned as a Christian. Yes, I am. But I'm going to stand before God the way I've lived my Christian life. What the Bible says. It matters how we live. Are we okay? I'm not changing the grace of God or the mercy of God. I'm telling you, it matters the way we live this morning. It matters. Let's see if it don't. Look at Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And let's look at some scripture this morning. Let the scripture speak. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Says, for the grace of God. How many glad for grace? Huh? How many glad for mercy? But look what it says, though. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. All men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, it matters the way we live. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. It matters. It matters how we live. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There is a way we're to live. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Can I tell you, if us Christians would live the way we're supposed to live, then the ones who are not Christians couldn't stand to live the way they live. But now there's not much difference. But it matters the way we live. It matters. It matters. So let's look at some things this morning. How about, let's look here at Psalm chapter 10, maybe. Psalm chapter 10 will fit in here somewhere. Psalm chapter 10. See, this is something that we fail to remember. Psalm chapter 10, the reason that there's no fear, there's no thought. Look in Psalm chapter 10. Let's start at verse 4. It says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He setteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are proudly set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draws him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Huh? We just live the way we want to live. We live the way we want to live. Now let me give you three thoughts this morning and we'll quit. I want you to notice something here. Let's go back to our scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now I'm not preaching mad. I don't seem to, my tone, I don't want you to think I'm mad this morning. I'm wanting you to hear. I'm wanting you to see. I want you to understand this morning. I want you to look at me. It matters how you live. I don't care if you're old or young. It matters how you live. It matters how I live. The influence we have upon someone, we cannot even measure the influence we have on people. And it matters how we live. It matters. Verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Can I say this morning? That everybody stands before the Lord. Every Christian will stand before the Lord. That's what it says here. Paul's speaking to a church. He's speaking to believers to be read at the church. And he said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We are to live our life building upon Christ. We're to live our life, and our bad works will be burnt up as wood, hay, and stubble, and our good will come out as gold, silver, and precious stones, but it will be shown. It will be shown. And we need to understand that the ash pile of a Christian don't have to be high. It matters how we live. It matters how we live. Every Christian, every unsaved will stand before God. Turn to Revelation. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. And when we're talking about everybody will stand before God. Revelation chapter 20 verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I'm just trying to get you to understand that everybody is going to stand somewhere. It says that everyone will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's every Christian. And here it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Every life is responsible. Every life is responsible for their life. Look in Romans chapter 14. Are you understanding me this morning? It matters how we live. It matters. It matters what we lay before. And I've got so much to answer for, it ain't even funny. Romans chapter 14, let's start at verse 7. Listen to me this morning. Dads, listen to me. Moms, listen to me. Papas, listen to me. Mamas, listen to me. Huh? Children, listen to me. Neighbors, listen to me. Young or old, listen to me. Romans chapter 14, verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not, thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Let us therefore judge one another any. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. It matters how we live. It matters how we live. Think about this. We talk about fear of the Lord. We, as a Christian, I'm not to be scared of the Lord. I'm supposed to be living to where I fear Him in awe and reverence and respect. That where I'm concerned about His desire for my life. That I'm concerned about what He wants, not what I want. That my fear of God beginning is the beginning of wisdom. And that I might walk with God as a believer. But we've lost that. Aware of His presence. Gratitude for grace. Gratitude for me. Listen, I'm thankful for grace and thankful for mercy. And I abuse it in the way I live. I abuse His grace. I abuse His security. I abuse His assurance. I abuse the fact that I'm saved for time and eternity. I abuse that wonderful truth that I'm saved forever in the way that I live. You ever abused your benefits? You ever abused the benefits on the job? You ever abuse the things that you've been given on in the workplace? Do you ever take advantage of the grace of a boss or the grace of a superintendent? Do you ever take advantage of the things that you've been offered and given? Huh? Someone you work for that you'll go a little, just stretch it as far as you could stretch it. You know? We do. Think about that. So everybody's going to have to stand before the Lord. And then let's look back. Let's look back. Back to 2 Corinthians. Now, it's one thing that everybody stands before the God. But another thing is that everything is seen. Everybody's going to stand and everything is seen. Now that troubles me. It says, for we must all appear, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, there's a problem there with me. That everything's seen. Everything's seen. I'm his child. He's watching. He's watching me. That bothers me. Does that bother you this morning? If you're here this morning lost, unsaved, never trusted Christ, look what it says. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Revelation 20, verse 12. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And everything you've ever done in your life will be read out loud, shown in public what you've done. You say, well, Mark, is there no hope? Yes, there is hope. Christ is our hope.
Amen.
He is our hope. But man, if you're lost this morning, that every thought, every deed, every sinful act, that's what you'll be judged. That's how your temperature in hell is judged. All hell is horrible. All hell is eternal flame. All hell is eternal fire. All flame is nothing but horrible. But the worse it gets, the hotter it is. The Bible teaches that those who've done little will be beaten with little stripes. Those who've done much will be beaten with many stripes. There is a difference. It matters. Are you listening to me this morning? It matters how you live. We live in an ungodly society. We live in an ungodly town. Whether you're noticing it or not, we're living in a town that is turning to liquor everywhere we turn. Everywhere we look at Somersville, West Virginia, is sucking up liquor and promoting liquor more and more. The whole county is promoting liquor more than ever. Right now. Do we not see that? Do we not see that? Even people that profess to be saved are now socially drinking and open. And saying, so do we see the sin that people are living? That it matters how you live this morning. Huh? I know this ain't shouting ground. I don't want to be shouting ground. I'm praying that God convicts me and you of our life and our lifestyle and our sinful living, that we repent and run to God asking for mercy and forgiveness, that we be clean. That you be saved, you that's not saved this morning. Huh? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. That everything is seen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. The light, bring to light the hidden things of darkness. And make manifest the counsels of the heart. My. How about Matthew chapter 12? Matthew chapter 12. Verse 36. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Well, let's just start at verse 35. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I just want you to know that idle words. Words are going to be spoken. Intents of the heart, things hidden, the things of darkness that's hidden. I want you to understand this morning that everybody's going to stand and everything is seen. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. I believe this morning down deep that everybody's going to stand before God. I believe down deep everybody ought to understand everything's going to be seen. And I believe that down deep we all know the terror of the Lord. The terror of the Lord. Go back through the Bible and read about the terror of the Lord. They spoke against Moses. The ground opened up and swallowed them up. They went against God and thousands were slain. They went against God's ways and thousands were slain. Over and over. That was the terror of the Lord in the Old Testament. You say, well, where is that terror of the Lord in the New Testament? And in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. And in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. See, we got to understand this morning that it matters how we live. It matters what we say. It matters where we go. It matters this morning. And we're not saved by what we do, but we that are saved, man, there's a line that we ought to be trying to come to that God wants us to live by because of a testimony. I looked at all them kids this week. The counselors, y'all been loved on. They've come to you. They've shared secrets with you. They've talked to you. They've trusted you. Huh? One of ours, little Ari, come to Brother Rick. And we all know how she was when she was 4 years old riding the bus. We all know how mean, and I hate to say it like that, but she was wicked. You've never been cussed, or you've been cussed by a four-year-old in language that I didn't even know they could even understand. The tantrums and taking two adults even to control her. Happened over and over and over until finally we even had to take her, man. Wouldn't he let her ride the bus for a while? It was so destructive, so mean, we couldn't control her. Picked up in houses all around and never know where she's going to be. Just a life of sin, raised in that life of sin. Huh? But last year, she got saved again. She wasn't going to get a come this year. She decided she would. She told Brother Rick. She said, this is a special place. She said, you can trust church people at camp. They'll do right. She can trust you. She can trust you. It matters how you live. It matters how you live. She told me, after she told Brother Rick all that, she came and told me, she said, preacher, she said, I'm so glad at camp. This is where I got saved and it has changed my life. She told me that up there when we was going to the fire pit. Monday. Huh? It matters how we live. It matters this morning. Everybody knows the terror of the Lord. We ought to know the fierceness of His wrath. We ought to know that. We ought to know that the judgment is true. We ought to know that we're accountable. Huh? We ought to know that it's impartial judgment. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm going to ask you, how are you living this morning? That's going to be the main message. Cheryl, you go to piano. How are you living this morning? I'm going to ask you each to examine yourself. You tell me, how are you living this morning? If you are a born again child of God, how are you living? For there's somebody watching you. There's children following your steps. There's grandchildren following your steps. How are you living? Who are you trusting? Who are you trusting this morning? Huh? You say, preacher, I've messed up in the past. Well, have you repented of it? Well, if you've repented of it, the sin is gone. There's consequences. Can't be nothing done. Listen to me. Listen to me carefully. The old story we've told many times about the boy that was rebellious against his father. Right. Hateful, rebellious, and every time he done something wrong, the daddy got there and drive a nail in the fence post. Every time. The boy finally left home and just mean and just a rascal. But he got right with the Lord. Come home and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, you're forgiven. He said, what about that post out there by the gate? He said, come with me. And he took a big crowbar and pulled out every nail out of that post. And everything's gone. All the nails are gone of the things you done wrong. And the boy said, it's great, but what about the holes? He said, I can't do nothing about the holes. The holes are there. Are you listening to me? We better fix the way we're living now that we don't make no more holes. Because it matters how you live. There's no call for unfaithfulness. There's no call for impure living for a born-again child of God. There's no call for selfishness and home-back giving and all the things that we do because we get back on God. That's for a Christian. You that are not saved this morning, I understand you don't know. I understand you ain't grasped it yet. But can I tell you this? You're alone without God. You're lost without God, and you need the blood of Christ to wash away your sins. And nothing but Jesus Christ can save you today. And we invite you to come and receive Christ because it matters how you live. The saddest thing is dying without Christ. Living a whole life without Christ. Not caring, not mattering. It don't matter. Huh? I know a man right today comes to my mind. He does not care if you go to church. He's for you. If you need transportation, he'd probably take you. He don't have nothing against anybody who wants to go. Yet that's their thing. But he wants nothing to do with God himself. Wants nothing to do with church himself, nothing to do with the Bible, nothing to do with anything like that. What you do is your business, but it's for him. He don't want nothing to do with it. And he thinks that will make him escape the judgment of God. Because he's free for everybody else. And that's not true. Because it matters how you live. It matters how he lives. How are you living this morning? Just be flat honest, boy. Are you living right or not? If you're a Christian, are you living close or not? Has there ever been a time you've been living closer? See, I believe there was a time. I believe there was a time that some of us was closer than we are now. Some of us, our heart was more tender. Some of us, we was closer to the Lord, and He burned our heart. But now, because of circumstances and situations, because of the way we've chosen to live, that He's far off. We ought to get back to God this morning. It ain't nobody's fault but yours. Don't tell me, well, somebody talked about me, so what? Well, somebody believes it. I don't. So what they believe? So what they done? So, yeah, but they killed my chickens. Well, that's fine. You didn't need them anyway. Huh? They broke all my eggs. I mean, simply, things don't matter. What matters is your life in the Lord. You understand that? Listen, you cannot offend me. I just want you to know. You can get in line and practice. You ain't never going to offend me. I'm sorry. I'm past that. It don't matter. not going to hurt my feelings. I'm past all that. Becky, I don't care. It's all about Him. It ain't about Mark Day. It's about Jesus Christ. How you living this morning? How you living? Are you saved? Huh? You're not saved, you hear me? Chances are you got a hold of somebody and you're dragging into hell with you. You're not saved this morning. Chances are you got somebody by the hand and dragging into hell. There's lost moms and dads dragging their children to hell fast as they can go. Lost friends dragging their friends to hell. It matters how we live. We better get back to the truth and understand that we're going to stand before God. Say, well, preacher, what do I need to do? You need to get out of your seat and find your place around this altar is what you need to do right now. If you're not living right, you ought to get up and get rid of the pride and come on to Christ. If you're not saved, come. Dennis, you come on. Rick, you come on. Becky's over here. Tristy, you got a Bible ready. We need you. Huh? Man or woman, you come. You're not saved, you come. Come and receive Christ this morning. These men will help you. If you're a lady, you come. These ladies will help you. They'll show you what the Bible says. But we want you to come to Christ. Let's stand right now. I'm going to ask you this morning that are saved, are you living right? Are you living right? Hear me. Are you living right? If not, won't you find your place this morning? And let's get right now.